The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
In today's sermon, we're actually combining a portion of a sermon preached on September 28, 2025 with a portion of another sermon preached on May 19, 2019. The reason for this is so that we can get a more complete exposition of what Primitive Baptists do not believe about the doctrine of election. Although we have partially dealt with some of these issues in our current exposition of Romans, we felt compelled to include this portion of a prior sermon in order to get a more complete picture of these matters. So even though you may notice a change in the audio quality at some point during the sermon, don't let that throw you off. Join us today for the conclusion of this sermon about what we do not believe about God's sovereign electing grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I see.
Now, in the short time that we have left, I just want to dispel some things that we don't believe as Primitive Baptists that the Bible teaches about the doctrine of election. I don't think I have to deal with this too in depth, but because I think we all are on the same page here. But first of all, we do not believe in absolute predestination of all things. We call people that do absoluters, okay? In the early 1920s, that heresy swept through this part of the country and took over many churches, including this one. And for generations, that's what they believed. And many of those churches are dead now because, they got into the idea of, well, what is to be will be. And, you know, the idea of even my sins are predestinated. You know, I heard Elder Sonny Pyle say this one time. I know I've shared it with you. He said, an absoluter, somebody's either done something he shouldn't or he's about to. You know, you blame it on God that way, right? But what absolute predestination teaches is that all things, including sin, are eternally set in the plan of God and cannot be varied. Essentially, we're all puppets and there's no free will whatsoever. Turn back just for a moment over to Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, and let's see how that one verse destroys this idea that God has predestinated all things. He said in verse 19, "For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." And he goes on to talk about the obedience of one making many righteous. That destroys Arminianism, by the way, free willism. It was by one man's sacrifice that we were made righteous. But notice it says, by one man's disobedience. The absoluter, the one who believes in absolute predestination, believes that Adam was predestinated to sin and fall there in the garden, and that sin would then come upon the world, and then God would ultimately save his people from those sins. But if that was God's will, then it wouldn't be disobedience, would it? Here we see one man's disobedience. Adam was disobedient, beloved. Back in verse 12, he says, by one man sin entered into the world. God didn't send sin into the world. God laid out the law. Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And beloved, it wasn't God that made Adam sin. Adam sinned by his own will. In truth, Adam was the only person who's ever had true freedom of the will. He was born innocent. He was created innocent. And he could have kept serving the Lord and stayed in full fellowship with him, but instead he sinned and fell, you see. We don't believe in absolute predestination. That's not what election is all about. Also, as I've mentioned several times, we don't believe that the Bible teaches double predestination. Back over in Romans chapter 9, I believe it dispels that. We've already said in verse 15 that it's all about God's mercy and compassion. It's not about his predestination. It's not about sending people to hell. It's about sending people to heaven that ought to go to hell, you see. And notice down in verse 22, he kind of teaches us that here. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? These are vessels of wrath that are made up already. They're by nature, we are fitted to destruction. But look at verse 23, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he, that is God, hath afore prepared unto glory. See, we didn't need God's help getting to hell. We're fitted for destruction, but we had to be made before prepared unto glory as children of God. All of us are bound for hell except for the grace of God. We do not believe in double predestination, and we've dealt with that some, so I'm not going to belabor it. But this is something very important that we believe the Bible does not teach, because some people seem to think that that's what we believe. Beloved, we do not believe in a chosen few. We do not believe in a chosen few. Remember what he said over in Romans 8:29? He's to be the firstborn among many brethren. Among many brethren. Primitive Baptists, you know, we're sometimes accused as Primitive Baptists. Y'all are that exclusive group. Y'all believe in that exclusive salvation. Beloved, we believe in inclusive salvation. We're the most inclusive group there is. Because all others, including most Calvinists, denominations will condemn everyone to hell who aren't fortunate enough to be born in a place where they can hear the gospel, or in a time when they can hear the gospel, or if they don't check off the boxes in their lives. Whether it's Calvinist or Arminian, both teach the same thing. But beloved, Praise God. We understand that there are people of God, children of God, in every kindred and nation and tongue and people. In Revelation chapter 5 says, they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And if you turn on over to Revelation chapter 7, he repeats that there in a little different way. He said, After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, verse 9, which no man could number. Beloved, we're not talking about a chosen few. We're talking about a multitude that no man can number. We can't count up that high. He said, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb. You know where salvation is attributed to? To our God. Because He saved us. We didn't save ourselves. We don't believe in a chosen few. We also don't believe that it's okay to just live any way you want to just because you're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world and can't lose your salvation. Now, I probably shared this with you. I heard a couple of responses, one of which I don't think I would use if I were you, but it always kind of tickled me. Brother J.C. Rushing, who used to be my pastor for many years up at Meadow Branch, he said one time, a lady came up to him and said, Now, preacher, if I believed the way you did, I'd live any way I wanted to. And he, according to his own testimony, he said, I looked her in the eye and I said, Amen, lady, I believe you would. That's probably not the best way to answer, okay? That's a little smart aleck, and I wouldn't do that. But I did think it was kind of humorous. But Brother Sonny Piles also had an account of somebody coming to him and saying to him, said, you know, If I believe the way you did, I'd sin all I wanted to. And he told this person, he said, I got you beat. He said, I believe the way I do, and I sin more than I want to. My want to has changed, you see. My want to has changed. You know, by the way, if you'll notice, it's usually those who don't believe in this eternal election, eternal security, who levy the charge. I hadn't heard any Primitive Baptist preachers get in the pulpit and preach that. And beloved, in fact, that's one of the things we try to emphasize, and Lord willing, we're going to get to that in Romans chapter 12. You know, Paul's laid all this foundation. He's laid everything about the doctrinal basis of our security and of our salvation, and we get over in chapter 12, and he says, Now, you present your body a living sacrifice. That doesn't sound much like antinomianism to me, does it? You remember, you go back to chapter 6 and verse 1 over there, he says, Shall we sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid, you see. We're going to read about this as we go. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, if you go back over there, we won't read it all again, but if you go back in Ephesians chapter 2 and you look down in verse 10, he says, For we are His, right after he says, It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We don't believe that it's okay to live any way you want to. It doesn't affect our eternal salvation, but beloved, it will affect your time salvation here and now. If you don't believe me, ask Lot when we get to heaven. Ask Lot if he thinks it would have been better to obey God. He ended up in fear in a cave, having lost his wife and all of his family except his two daughters, and he was committing unspeakable sins and fathering two wicked nations by them. We don't believe it's okay to live any way you want to just because of the doctrines of grace. And finally, we don't believe that there's, you know, some people will say to you, well, I think I dealt with it last time, but I'm going to repeat it this morning. Some people will come up and say, well, what about this person who believes and trusts in the Lord, but he just can't go to heaven because he wasn't chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world? And I say to you again, on the authority of the Word of God, we don't believe there's anyone who desires and trusts Christ who will be in hell. Beloved, that's the strongest evidence you'll ever find that you're one of His children, that you have a desire for Him. That you know, before the new birth, you have no desire for Him. There's no spiritual life. But afterwards, there is life. A baby cries not to get born, but because he's been born. And beloved, he's crying out for something he desires and something he needs, the food and the warmth and the comfort of his parents, of his father, his mother. Beloved, when we are born again, whether we've heard the gospel or not, whether we understand it or not, there is something in there that cries out, Abba, Father, calling out for that one. And beloved, when we find ourselves broken by sin and trusting in Christ, then that's the strongest evidence you'll ever have that you are one who was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Not will get born, but is born of God. That old thief on the cross, I don't believe he knew all the details, but he knew something was different. It wasn't at first. He was cursing and threatening and he was mocking. Oh, but there came a point where something changed within him. And he was born again. I believe they're right there on the cross. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now, the calling out didn't get him born again. The calling out was the result of him having been born again. And praise God, I believe that day, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I love that vision of that thief showing up at the gates of heaven and being asked, why are you here? Man, I don't know. You understand who Jesus is? You understand his virgin birth? You understand? No, I don't know any of that stuff. Why are you here? Because the man on that middle cross said I could come. That's grace. That's election. That's the electing grace of God. Why are we here? Because Jesus said we could come. That's the only reason. You say, preacher, don't you have to accept him to go to heaven? I read in the Word of God nowhere about that. But I do read that we're made accepted in the Beloved. You say, don't your good works have to outweigh your bad works? I hope not. I hope not. Because I'm out of luck. Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 that our righteousnesses, that means every good work we could do, is but filthy rags in the sight of God. Have you ever done anything completely good? You know, you say, well, I gave money here and I did that. I helped my neighbor out. Well, did you do it without any taint of sin? Did you have, you know, I always go back to several things in my life where I gave money to somebody on the street and I did this. Boy, I was so proud of myself. See the problem? Pride. Always, oh boy, I did a good deed. There's nothing I've ever done, no decision I've ever made that wasn't somehow tainted with the sin of Adam. You say, preacher, don't you have to pray for salvation? Well, I believe in a sinner's prayer. I just don't believe in a prayer that a sinner who's dead in sins can pray. If you're dead in sins, the Bible says you think those things are foolish. See, I've heard it put this way before. Let me ask you this first. Why would you pray for salvation when you don't believe you need to be saved? Why would you? Why would you pray for any salvation when you don't believe you need to be saved? The burden of sin, think about it this way. I believe in being burdened by sin. I believe in the conviction of sin. But think about it this way, beloved. You take a 1,000-pound weight and you place it on the chest of a man who's dead. You ain't got no problems, do you? He's not going to say anything. He's not worried about that. He don't feel it. But you take that same weight and you put it on the chest of somebody who's alive, and they're going to feel that weight. They're going to struggle with that weight. They're going to start crying out for someone to remove that weight. You see, life has to precede light of any kind. We have light, but we only have it because we've been made alive. Don't you have to believe in him? Well, you sure ought to. But I read over in Romans chapter 3 that there were some people that didn't. It says, what advantage then, verse 1, hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. And remember, the Jews weren't being faithful in this day. In verse 3, he says, for what if some did not believe? You know what the answer of the world is? They're going to bust hell wide open. That's the answer the world gives. You know what the answer the Bible gives us? What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar,
as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. You know what he's saying there, basically? You know, sometimes we think of people in the world as either believers or unbelievers. Let me tell you something. I'm both. There was a man that came to Jesus. He said, Lord, my daughter's dying. Can you come help me? And Jesus looked at him and said, all things are possible if you believe. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You know what he was saying there? He was saying, Lord, I'm believing as much as I can. I'm trying real hard. There are days when I feel like I'm at your feet. There are days when I feel like I'm holding on to the very cross of Calvary. And then there are days when I feel myself to be an outcast stranger here on earth. I'm both believer and unbeliever. And I'm thankful that the days when I'm not believing like I should. Do you ever worry? You ever get stressed out? You're an unbeliever, okay? That's what believing is having faith. You're not. If you're stressed out and you're worried, you're not believing and trusting in Him. There's days when I'm both, beloved. There's more days that I'm not, seem like, than that I am. But what He says is, shall that their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Praise God. He loved us before the foundation of the world. And you know, He's not going to let us go. He loved us so much. You know, I like that story, Brother Mackey. That's the kind of love story. You know, I'm not into these chick flicks, you know. I'm not really Hallmark movies at Christmas. I always dread them. You know, here we go again. Somebody loves somebody, and then they don't think they love them, and they end up, you know, messing around out in the world, and finally they get together. You know, always that way. You know, but I want to tell you, this is a chick flick I can get into, okay? Because it tells about a wedding. It tells about a bridegroom. It tells about a bride. And what's so beautiful, Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3 says, behold, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. This is an everlasting love. It began before time. And in that eternity past, it led us right up to a point where a man named Jesus hung for 6 hours on the cross and divided eternity in two. And on this side of the cross, we've got eternity future. And praise God, every single one that He loved before the foundation of the world is going to be with Him in eternity future. You know, this life, I don't know about you, but pretty tough. My experience has been it's not easy. And the older I get, the harder it gets. Seems like all I do lately is spend my time in doctor's offices. I heard you hear Brother Mackey complaining about that. I'm about like Brother Mackey lately. Going to the doctor all day. Going to the next doctor all day. I don't think it's going to get much better. Solomon, the wisest man besides Jesus that ever walked this earth, said that vanity of vanities, all is vanity here under the sun. In verse 14 of chapter 1, he says, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I experience that. But I got a better story for you than that. I got an everlasting love affair. It began before the foundation of the world. It was culminated on Calvary. And it will be fulfilled. And you, child of God, if you're one who struggles in this life and you find yourself to be a pilgrim and sojourner in a strange land and you struggle with your sin and you hate your sin and you love the Lord and you want to be with Him, let me tell you something, beloved. That's the strongest evidence I know that you're going to live happily ever after. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did foreknow, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Amen. I'll let you in on a little secret. You're not glorified yet. But in the mind and purpose of God, He calls it as if it's already done. Because one day, and I hope it's before we pray our closing prayer, He's going to come back and bring us home to be with Him. And He'll say, behold, I and the children thou hast given me. That's That's what Primitive Baptists believe. That's what we believe the Bible to teach. That's what this church has stood on down the ages of time. I thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.